The peace of Christ be with you. Where do you stand in relationship to Jesus and his cross? It's the question that hangs over Holy Week. Indeed, it is the question that maybe hangs over our life. Where do you stand in relationship to Jesus? And there are a lot of options, as we heard last week. You could stand with Judas and with the conspirators. You could stand with Pilate and the accusers. You could stand with Peter and the disbelievers and the skeptics. You could stand with Mary and the beloved disciple at the shadow of the cross. You could stand with Joseph of Arimathea and with Nicodemus, holding the pierced, lifeless body of Jesus. Where do you stand in relationship to Jesus? This is the question that hangs over Holy Week. Indeed, it is the question that hangs over our life. But I'm wondering if that is actually the right question. In light of what happened and what happens, I'm wondering if it's a different question we have to answer. In light of what we celebrated yesterday, in light of what took place that is even now overwhelming the world, I think that there's a different question we have to adjust our reality to. What happened, you asked? Well, have you not heard? Do you not know? Something overwhelming. A declaration so amazing that it is the impossible possibility among us. What has happened is this. Hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us from John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that a stone had been rolled away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head lying, not with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their home. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she bent down to look in the tomb, and she saw two angels dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why? Why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" And supposing him to be a gardener, Mary said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said, "Mary. Mary." And then she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And then Jesus said to me, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go now and tell my brothers that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So Mary went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, and he said, and he says, peace be with you. Then he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father sends me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails, I will not believe. A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. And then Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, do you believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, but these are written so that you and me can believe in his name and have new life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm wondering if I'm asking the wrong question in light of what happened and what happens. Maybe the question isn't at all, where do I or you stand in relationship to Jesus? But in light of what happened and what is happening, maybe the question is this, where does Jesus stand in relationship to us? It happened, and it happens. Yesterday is the triumphant victory of the church. Yesterday, we remember that it happened, that death, that darkness, that a stone, that unrecognition, that doubt, that fear cannot keep Jesus away from us. It happened and it happens. Jesus is alive. And anytime that Jesus is alive, Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, he's got a word of good news for us that sets us free to run wild in the wide open country of salvation. It happened and it happens. Friends, I feel like preaching today because it happened. Jesus is alive. Jesus is still speaking. And whenever time Jesus speaks, it is the word, his word, that reconstitutes our reality and makes all things new. In him, the old is gone and the new is here. It happened and it happens. It isn't necessarily where we are standing in relationship to Jesus. It is where Jesus is standing in relationship to us. And the good news this morning is that in light of the resurrection, Jesus is standing here. Jesus is standing with you and for you. And Jesus is right now at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Jesus is the high priest who is still interceding and praying on our behalf. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is still showing up, still speaking, still breathing his Holy Spirit on his disciples, sending us out in Jesus' name. The good news is that Jesus shows up. And when he does, he calls us by name. Mary, Mark, Alfredo, Paul, Courtney, Samantha, Lindsay, JoJo. He calls us by name because he is not an abstraction. He's not an idea. He's an embodied person who has a voice. He is alive and wants to be in relationship. He comes out of the grave and he says, Mary, Kate, Roberto. He shows up and calls us by name. And when we hear his voice calling us in the deep, dark recesses of our soul, we can't help but have our heart leap. It happened and it happens. Jesus shows up and calls us by name. But he not only calls us by name, he proclaims the good news that the whole earth has been groaning and aching to hear. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus wakes up, untethers himself from the linen cloths, steps out of the darkness of the tomb, and steps into the bright light of the wide open country of salvation, and proclaims the word that is even now overwhelming the world. It is the word that we have been groaning to hear. It is the word to you and to me and to all creation. It is the sermon that Jesus was born to preach. Peace be with you. This is the sermon that is still echoing down the canyons of time to us today. Peace be with you is the first sermon of the Christian church. And that's why when we say here, peace be with you and also with you, we are not reciting apple pie. We are reciting the declaration of victory after a long, cold war. Peace be with you is the revelation that gives the resurrection its meaning. Peace be with you is the announcement that sin and death no longer have power over us, that we were born for peace with God. That which separated humanity and God, sin has been abolished. It is eliminated. Peace be with you is not the declaration of a wish. It is the declaration of a fact. Christ's cross has done this once and for all. And that is good news. Peace be with you, my friends, as you know, means much more than a ceasefire between enemies. It is shalom. It is the webbing together of justice and fulfillment and delight. And the good news is that this announcement from the resurrected Christ is our reality right now. Whether you know it or not, Christ has made it possible by the pleasure of God to reconcile all things in earth and in heaven by making peace, shalom, by the blood of the cross. That is the good news gospel. That is the revelation that gives the resurrection its meaning. Christ's person, Christ's life, Christ's blood is what saves us. And when we are given shalom by Christ, when he announces, it is him giving us salvation. We have been brought together in a new kind of relationship, a new kind of world where the kingdom of God is even now, right now, in this place, breaking in upon us. Let those who have an ear to hear listen to the truth. Peace be with you. Jesus shows up and he says, peace be with you. And the good news is he's still showing up. And he says it into your life. He says it into the Middle East. He says it to the nations. He says it during finals. Peace be with you. This is reality. This is the really real world that we have to adjust our lives to. And the good news is that nothing can keep Jesus away from saying it. If there's death, there will one day be a resurrection where we'll have new life. If there is a stone, he'll roll it away. If there is confusion and lack of recognition, he'll say our name. If there is doubt, he'll show us his hands and his feet. If whatever the situation, Jesus will overcome it. If the door is locked, he'll pick it in order to stand among us and proclaim the truth. Peace be with you. This is the good news that the world is still grappling to understand. but it is true. Jesus shows up and calls you by name. And when he calls you by name, he proclaims the good news, peace be with you. But not only that, Jesus also breathes on us, the Holy Spirit, and commissions us. Just as the Father sent me, he says, so I send you. You and I are called to bear this peace into the world, this wholeness, this shalom. You and I are called to be followers of Jesus, the resurrected one, followers of Jesus who has been risen from the dead and proclaimed that it is finished. You and I take this into our lives, take this into our vocation, take this into our relationships, take this into our teaching, take this into our learning. You and I have been called and commissioned by none other than Jesus himself. Peace be with you, says Jesus. As the Father sent me, so I send you, Robert and Mark and Caleb and Lindsay and JoJo and CJ and Allison. You are called by name, marked with the peace of Christ, to go out in Jesus' name as Jesus went out, following and loving God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. The good news, my friends, is that it not only happened, but it happens. Amen? Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are alive. We thank you that you are still breathing on us your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you call us by name, that you proclaim the good news, and that you have sent us out just as you were sent, Jesus. Give us the faith and the courage and the joy to take in this truth and live in the power of your resurrection, the good news that is still causing us to wonder and to marvel. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Go in peace.